that day. They will bring you out. They will beat you. None of your bones will be broken, but you will be injured. You say, look at him, foolish boy. Where did you get the money? It's an angel speaking through them. And they finish. They will all look at the car and say, boss, wait a minute, we'll take this guy. He said, move back. They will all shoot the car. Shoot him. And they give you the keys. And they will walk away. You will look for them. You don't see them again. Whether they are demons or angels, they have vanished. So I said to the young one that day, I said, okay, for our church, pastor will ask us, last month, how much did you send your mother? I said, once it's lower than the amount you used to buy the food, he will beat you. And I'm teaching young people, you're misbehaving in life. You see a small boy, he can't buy a recharge card. He's carrying a phone of 85,000 naira. Asking for money for a recharge card he does not have. One of my friends, that day, he said his brother will meet him and show him, and see what the phone I'm using now. Then he will call him later at night and say, what now? Go send me a small card now. Wait, how far? He will call me and say, bank, you see me. Oh. This guy is using the phone I can't afford. Then he's calling me to send him a card. Why doesn't he sell the phone and buy a card? What I'm saying, let me get back to my message. Let me not get too sidetracked. No good thing will he withhold. God will say, no, don't give him. This is going to render him poor. Are you getting my point? I said, Mike Murdock said, men don't reach for what they need. They reach for what they want. And sometimes what they want is not good. So when they settle down and confess, this is, I get it, in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim it, I untie it, it's bound, evil spirits are binding it, I remove them, I lose them, come and agree with me, whatever we can agree with and lose, shall we lose? They lose, after a long time, the Bible said, he gave them meat after their loss. Ah, leave me alone, you want to chop. But that only brought leanness into their souls. Are you getting the point? Because they are focusing on that material outward thing. No, but if they had focused on no good thing, will he withhold from them that walk uprightly? They will have known that manna is very nutritious. They will have understood that why are we shouting for meat? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. They will have understood that manna is good. And like my pastor preached those days, before I met him, I read it in one of his newsletters. He said that was the reason. That was the reason why Joshua was strong. That was the reason why Caleb was strong. He said that was the reason why they did not doubt. Their ability to face the giants and be strong in the face of the giants was because they fed on manna and manna alone. That they never wanted all the meat that was flowing around. All the garlic that they were dreaming of. No. He titled that message, Manna, the Food of Champions. You are getting the point I'm making? No good thing inside that word. It arranges the kind of car I should drive at the correct season. It arranges the kind of house I should live in at the correct season. It arranges it. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That word is loaded. It's alive and active. It can make decisions. It can close doors. It can open doors. You can be the most intelligent, the most prayerful, the most righteous. You're so certain you will get that employment or that contract. As you're about to get it, something goes out of order. Ah, what is going on? One man will just vex. The door will just close. Listen, child of God, don't worry. As you step back, you will see again, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For those who don't understand, let me explain something. People will say, no, you have to be firm in your faith. If you have believed God for it, don't waver. That's why I said, don't be too quick to believe God for outward things. Believe God for the manifestation of his word. What I mean is this. They say, be firm. You said to God, is this year and is this company, is this office? The year is November 27th now. You understand my point? It's going to December 16th. They say, confess it. Give God more praise. That's what is lacking. Then you start giving him more praise. Say, that praise needs cymbals and harp. Suddenly you go and start Googling on the internet, where can you buy harp now? Who will deliver it before December 25th? Praise him on the 10-string instrument. Because when you praise him, he could download.
You do all of that, it doesn't work. They say you have to be steadfast. Listen. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resistance to the devil is the humility under the mighty hand of God. I'm going somewhere. Listen. Whom resist, he said, steadfast in your faith. Steadfastness of real faith is resistance to the devil. What I mean is this. If the devil, because he plays games, he's a thief. Are you getting my point? Yes. If the devil indeed wants to block what is rightfully mine, it is not shouting that it's mine, that's the issue. Because I may not be sure. It's an outward manifestation. But I step back and say, no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. That word is alive. It will drive that devil away even if I don't confront him directly. I don't know what I heard I said. Because whom resist steadfast in your faith? The fact that I have not changed my mind, that that my blessing is in God's hands and he will never withhold from me anything that is good. I don't change my mind about that, even the face of adversity. Listen, the devil will disappear. He will release it and let it come if he was the one holding it. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk up uprightly. It's the voice of God's word, the angels. And we've read in the scriptures that when the devil and his agents are trying to withhold somebody's blessings, they get up, they are armed, and they go and fight so as to open the door. Is that not true? That's what happened to Daniel. How do we activate them? It's simple. We utter the voice of his word. A lot of times we think we are teaching faith, but we have caused people to lose heart because hope that is deferred, it makes the heart faint. I like Pentecostal preachers. Say to God this year, then you will take a seed and tie it down with it. Half of those who preach it don't know what they are saying. They heard this somewhere too. I'm a preacher, I know what I'm telling you. That's how what we do sometimes. We have to deliberately outgrow those behaviors. Every time I go to church, no, there was a day I heard myself saying, oh, if you want to connect with this blessing, you come and give it. I was just, you know, just in church, normal, maybe somebody came to do Thanksgiving. Then I went to myself, what's wrong with you? Where did you hear that? You don't know me, that I've never heard it anywhere. That is like, just since you hear, you never read it somewhere. So I stopped saying it. The Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. That's all I know. Are you getting my point? And there's a blessing in obedience. So somebody is doing Thanksgiving. What I now say is, the Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. That's all. There's a blessing tied to every obedience to the word of God. That's what I'm going to explain. Once God says something and you obey it, there's a blessing. I first shared this revelation during my wedding. When they say to come and say thank you, you know, that kind of thing, I took the microphone. So the Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. Every one of you that came here today because I'm getting married, you are blessed. That was the first day I shared that revelation. Once God says something, you obey it, you are blessed. So what I tell people simply is, if somebody is doing Thanksgiving, Abraham's blessings as they are dancing, join. Why? It's commanded. Rejoice with those who rejoice. If they say the sign of rejoicing is give an offering, you too, give an offering. Rejoice with those who rejoice. What it will bring, you don't know for sure. But that it will bring a blessing, you can count on that. You can count on that. You can count on that. The point I'm making is that a lot of us say, this year, by force, God must release. I know they talk on me again. You know why? God's calendar does not run from January 1st to December 31st. In fact, this current Gregorian calendar, you know, it didn't used to be like this. Before, the beginning of the year was April 1 or March 1, one of the two. That is why December is Deca, you know. Deca is 10. Now is the 12th month. Because March 1st used to be January, used to be the first day of the month, the year. So February was the last day. So when you hear of October, it's the 8th month. December
November, Nonna. You've heard of Nonagon, Decagon. Yes. One day, one king woke up and said, from next year, January 1st shall be the first day of the year. And God probably has not recognized that calendar till now. You never can tell. So I don't like to harass someone with it. And I read a joke once. A young boy said to God, I heard that you are so rich. The 10 million naira just to you like 1 naira. God said, it's true. He said, God, give me 1 naira, which is 10 million by your standard. And God said to him, say, no problem. Wait a moment, which is 1,000 years by my standard. You understand my point? How he measures his time, I don't know. But one thing I'm certain of, absolutely, is no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Are you getting my point? And each day, I cultivate walking uprightly. Are you getting that? He said, dwell in the land and cultivate what? Faithfulness. It's cultivation. Not even to cultivate. Make sure it increases. You harvest around it, weed around it, plant it, wet it. You understand? Sprinkle it, remove the weeds. Make sure faithfulness in your life increases. It's an effort. You put it in it. You put an effort into it, doing it every day. As long as you are doing that, you are guaranteed of one thing. No good thing will leave withhold from them that walk uprightly. And I'll tell you as a matter of fact, God will outperform your expectations. He will. God will do what? Outperform your expectations. He will go far beyond that which you ever could have imagined. That's a matter of fact. He will. He will do exceedingly far above all that you can ask or even think about. He will. He will. And I have personal testimony to show that that's what he does. That's what he does. That is what he does. In fact, this is a very mundane, it's a small testimony, but let me just tell you to make you laugh. Well, a little encourage you a bit. This car, it's over 2 years now. This car I drive. You understand? Let's say 2 months before I bought the car. No, I bought the car in June. Yes, 2 months before it hadn't crossed my mind I should buy a car brand new. That is, you know the way Nigeria is? We've been tokumborized mentally. If you open our skull like this, all the pictures there are of used cars. If you are browsing, once you see the 2011, you'll click next. You don't think about it. It's almost like an ungodly thought. Why should you be thinking about such things? And as God is my witness, so was I also. But instead of the car I was using, it was giving me serious headache. I drove down to Benin for a meeting. Let me enter the car I came with, which I drove all the way from Enugu to Benin. I turned the key. The car not just like, say, anybody did it. I said, this must be a joke. Come on. I drove this car for the last 4 hours. Got to a meeting, had a meeting, then drove down to come and deliver a luggage. And I just asked my father-in-law for 1 hour there about gist. Time to go. The motor not Greek or motor. My father-in-law said, no problem. I should just leave it there. He gave me the key to one of his cars. I should just take that one. That spirit that was pushing me jumped into his own car too. I park and finish. I finished session, okay. To go back, let me go and collect my car. Let me return that one till not grease that. No. I think I drove it back to the house to drive it out again. Now not grease that. Because I can't remember anybody trying to help me start the outside. So I left that one. So he said, no problem. He gave me a key to another one. That one didn't give me any problem. In fact, one of my friends said that, look at life. That people will be looking and say, man, this guy is chopping life for, because in 3 days, I drove 3 different cars. All of them nice looking. No. He said, this life is fun. That people looking at it from outside now. We say, this guy is chopping life. They won't know the genesis of this whole thing. So finally, when I went back, my car started at the time. That's my the first one. You understand? So I took it out. As I was driving, one day some people were following me somewhere. I was leading. They noticed that Every time I hit the brake, my car go quench. Next day, I'm going to have to start the car again. I said, man, this is not an issue. So finally, one of the brothers in the car behind, what happened to your car? I said, man, this car is really embarrassing. I think the thing is due for change. I think I have to change this car. We're just talking, just gisting. They just said something. He said, no problem now. My company can help you buy one. And it's just 12%. Is it 12, he said? Yes. I said, how much did you buy your car? He was driving a brand new Kia Cerato. He said, 1.98. I said, 1.98? A whole brand new car? A complete one? He said, yes. I said, what? So one guy said he helped me buy, of course, the first thing I thought about was, no, forget that one. Somebody said he helped me buy a Camry, used Camry, sent it from the U.S. Now, I'm going somewhere. Listen to this story to interest you. The problem was that the guy who wanted to buy me the brand new Camry, not brand, the used Camry, which was coming for the same price, all right? The Camry was a few years old. That was 2004 or so. Then this was like 2009, yes. May 2009. It was going to come to the same price. That car was going to come to about 2 point something million. This one was 2 million. I look. The major issue, that guy said I had to give him cash complete, round, wrap the money, not one naira missing. If not, if I get that kind of money, you think Mutu would embarrass me for it? And like, that was a major issue. That was the car I wanted to buy, but I did not have the money. So I said, well, I didn't like very small cars, but at least somebody's going to help me buy this, and I'll pay a very low interest rate. I just pay a portion, less than half up front, and then they spread the rest. He said, how long do I want? That anything between up to 24 months if I want. At a very low interest rate. I said, this is good. So my wife and I drove down to Kia here. So I said, I saw the car. How much? 1.98. That's just a little over under 2 million. I said, okay, nice. And I said, well, how much is the Optima? The difference in price was just about 250,000. I said, me that hate small cars before. I just abandoned the other one. Are you seeing the way the Lord was doing it? I moved to the 2008 Optima. I said, okay. I called the guy. I said, I'll take this other one. So he said, okay, they can't buy from here. The company where he works, they give LPOs. So they just give LPO to Dana Motors. Dana Motors will deliver the car. He called me and told me that. So I said, I told the guys here, sorry, I can't buy from you guys. So I had to call the Dana Motors guys in Lagos. So I got their number and called the guy. I still remember the guy, Mike, an Indian. Mike said, look, Doc, this is what I'm going to do for you. He told me how he's going to twist the car up to like a bot. The one he's giving me is this particular specification, so I have to add 100K. I said, Mike, that is where you're getting it wrong. We started this thing at 1.98. We went up to 2.25. Now you're saying I should do 2.35 because you put a few accessories here and there. I went and talked with my wife. We talk. He said, the money declined small. So I said, all right. So he said, look, Doc, I need to hear from you, all right? Because the thing, they are finishing. I have just a few units left. So next day I called him. I said, all right, we've concluded. Send that one. He said, sorry. Anambra State government came and bought everything that was remaining. He said, but I have the 2009 model. That was 2008. I said, how much? He said, this one. I said, Mike, forget it. I said, sorry, thank you very much. It was good while it lasted. I'm not buying again. I just said, okay, no problem. The guy said, that I should understand that it's business. That those guys came to buy, I think, about 15 units. So he had to give them everything he had. And he felt really bad. He said, okay, can I call you back? I said, go ahead. After about 30 minutes or 15, he called me back. He said, listen, I will do one favor for you. I will give you the 2009 at that same price. You are the only one I'm giving it to. The only difference is that instead of me delivering it in Enugu, because he said he will drop the car for me here, he said, you have to come and pick it in Lagos. I said, that's not a problem. I bought the cheapest 2009 model Kia Optima in this country. Unless the man was lying to me. I saw the advert in the papers. I know that people that bought it. I got mine at the price of 2008. So one day the guy just called me and said, okay, pick your car from Port Harcourt. I just said, Ola Inka, how far? We'll get motor for Port Harcourt though. Inka said, no problem. I just did sit down for house night. They cry, drive, big bang. Now, what people would not understand, that I bought that car because I didn't have money. That's where I'm going. If I did, I would have bought an 04, 05 Camry. I bought an 09 Optima. We literally had a rubber tearing ceremony in my house. So we tell the children, I still have the pictures. Yeah, hold that rubber. We call it rubber tearing ceremony. We bought it because I didn't have money. Let me not bore you with the rest of the story. The way the money got paid up and how fast it went, it was an interesting story. I did not pay up to 10% interest on the whole thing. What is 10%? That's a joke. What a lot of people won't understand is that I bought the car because I didn't have the money to buy. But you see somebody else right beside me parked his old Camry there too. He paid more for his car than I did. With more effort. Mine was absolutely stressless. Why did I tell the story? I told my wife then, I said, it would not have crossed my mind to go and price Kia Optima. For what? That is never crossed my mind. I didn't even tell that guy, say, see you. He was driving behind me that day. He just said, Oga, we can help you buy a car. And interest is very good. Because the Camry I wanted to buy, I couldn't afford it. I had to take their own. It was not my first choice. This is the third year I'm using that car now. The Lord is good. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I said, God will outperform your expectations. That's how I told the story. He will. He will. He will outperform your expectations. Because the word is not just a scientific calculation. It has life. Are you getting my point? It can respond. It knows what is good for you. The word knows what is not good for you. Today I was in my office talking to one of my co-workers in the office, a lab scientist. We were discussing about America, Nigeria, UK, and all of that. When I finished explaining some principles, why I'm not too excited about certain countries and all of that, he said, you mean these things are like this and people want to die to get there? I said, they don't know. It's ignorance. God is arranging people's lives to bless them. Somebody just said, look, except you go to this particular country. If you get visa to Greece, don't try it. You know, this is not even by faith now, just by watching television. You get visa to Portugal, you're on your own. Spain, don't go near. As for United States, make sure you are highly skilled and your skill is wanted. UK, please stay at home first. Now, beggar, they beg you. There are people that they've denied them visa. They won't stop going. They should know. The time, it will be time to go for visa. You go no. Are you getting my point? You will know. The first time my wife went to apply for a British visa, you know, there are times you want to slap the person interviewing you on the other side and say, you are very stupid. Don't they have, you know? He said that the person who gave her invitation letter, that they bear different names, so she's not sure it's his sister. And I want to say that you see, apparently white men don't think the way you are talking. She's married, I'm married. Two sisters who are married, that how they bear the same name where you come from. So when she came out from there, she called me, and she called her sister, and they said, the sister said she forgot something then she forgot one bank statement at home, not even at home, it disappeared between my house and Abuja there. She doesn't know where it disappeared to. The sister said, okay, no, what she should do is that, go and write an appeal of the verdict, and then this one, then because she is a British citizen, she will write this one. My wife told me on the phone, I said, my friend, come back home. She was feeling very bad because she went with Akinlu, the little boy. That okay, she will come back by road. I said, why? That she feels she wasted the money. I said, my friend, board that next flight. I said, I better come back home. Appeal for which visa? I said, you should know when the time for something is not right. Just come home, come home, come home, come home. So she came back home. I said, you see, don't worry yourself. Here, I told you. Things have their season. For a few years, she forgot the whole idea. The next time she went, in fact, the summary of it was that she went, they didn't even do interview anymore, do thumbprint, put documents, drop it there, and then go away. And I said, that okay, come back and collect visa. I said, hey, collect your passport. I said, listen, I come from Enugu. So they insisted that somebody that bears her name should collect for her. Just put Deji's name. That's my younger brother. At least they bear the same surname. And then they just collected the thing, said, did you open it? They give me visa. They give me, fine. That one expired. Next one, should I now collect 2 years or 5 years? It's the amount of money you want to pay. I don't think it crosses her mind that someone would deny her British visa now. For what? is what? Season. I said, those days people were fighting to go to America. And I was in Lagos. I said, me? Never. Kill? Kill? For a white man to run looking down on me, that is, I'll be too angry. So there's no point. With all the poverty in my pocket, I didn't care. The day I finally went for American visa, God, the word of God is living. The voice of his word. Because I said I won't kill. The day I got there, it was after it happened that I realized what happened. I read on their website that their visa fee is $100, so you can come with cash. So I went with $100 cash. Just put it in my passport and went. So when I got there, I was just gisting with one guy. And I said, have I paid in the bank? I said, paid what in the bank? Then they said, we can come with cash now. Then it was our turn, like 9 o'clock they gave us. So they usually give like 20 people, 9 o'clock. So 9 o'clock, we're all hanging around there. Yeah, 9 o'clock. So again, I said, you haven't got to pay. I said, no, that they said we can come. I said, no, they don't accept cash. You have to go to UBA. As I was about to join the queue, are you getting my point? I left to go to UBA. By the time I came back, there was only one person on the queue. Are you getting my point? And they had just finished getting her documents to let her in, meaning that I got there, they collected my paper and let me in. I did not have to queue for 1 second. Because I said long ago, I ain't gonna queue. I've told this story several times. When the toughest person interviewing was the person that interviewed me. It was their chief, I didn't know. One black woman like this. The other two white girls were very nice. You see everything. That girl was just denying visa. Bah, 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 bah. Hey! Boys were collapsing. I remember the guy that put 4 million naira in an account. The woman looked at me and said, where did you say you worked? He said, maybe Kaduna State Government. He said, you're a civil servant? How come you have 4 million in your account? Wah! Go home. I remember the guy, I still remember one tall, slim guy like this with the thin trousers. Man, the guy won't collapse. I go borrow 4 million naira at interest, put down for account. Well, I can go home. When it was my turn, the guy beside me, one young lawyer. So, everybody was praying in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? You can imagine Pentecostals. He said, Lord, I owe you this one. I go pay for Sunday. Eh? I hereby sow a seed so that they won't send me to that woman. And I remember I said to myself, I think I should talk to this lady. Let me see what about her that's so difficult. The next space opened was one of the white girls. So I said, well, I'll talk to one of these white ladies. Then that lady got up and walked out of her cubicle. So I continued waiting. Then, bam, it was her turn. The tall babe, yeah. That guy beside me said, I still remember, he said, Because we had been gisting, you know, we had gotten familiar. He said, I remember God in heaven is my witness, I'm not lying to you. I looked at him, I said, what? Let's see. I got up, I walked up there. Your papers, I passed it to her. She looked. Do you have pay slip? I said, no, I didn't know I needed it. So your bank statements, I gave it to her. Is it your salary account? I said, yes. Next thing she did was to fold her hand. You know, you see her calculating. Did some calculation. She looked at me, looked at the paper, looked at me, then put her hand like this. And God in heaven is my witness. I stood, I said, what's the problem? I'm telling you, I just said, what's the problem? Say, your balance is too low. I said, The two accounts I went with, 100,000 naira was all the money inside, less than $1,000. And one of them was a mistake. One brother sent 70,000 naira to Kingdom World Ministries and he paid into my account. I did not even know. I printed the statement. That's how I found out later. Because I was saying, I don't know this money. I thought it was a mistake in this thing. And I said, let me call this guy. I just called him. So that is, I was going to go there with 30-something thousand naira balance. And God in heaven knew I didn't care. And the lady said to me, your balance is low. I said, You asked, these were my words. I'm giving you things that really happened. I said, you asked me whether it was a salary account, and I said yes. You know what that means? I earn money through it, and I spend it. I don't keep money there. This is one Nigerian. I'm sure she was just thinking to herself. I said, listen, I could have put money in there to impress you. I said, but what's the point? I only brought that to show you that I work, and that's the work I do, period. The lady asked me, when can you come back? we chatted a bit more. I said, what can you? She asked me, do you have any other thing to give me? No, I don't have any other thing. You want me to see my marriage certificate? She said, no. She asked me, she said, do you know how many Nigerians abandon their wives and children and go to America? I said, that you are right. At the end, yeah. So I finished though. Waiting remain. Yeah, I said, okay, come on Tuesday and come and pick up the visa. God bless you. You know the will of God. I didn't tell her like that too. At the end, we started chatting. And I said, I actually wanted to come and see you to see what it is that made it so difficult. That you've been denying visas since. He said, you guys were talking about me. I said, yes, we'll have to talk about you. Look at how you've been denying people $100 every time they show up. But this, it was because the time was right. That's it. And I remember I told you before, I said, I did not even ask God about it until the morning of the visa. I was about to leave my hotel room. I said, wait, I've never prayed about this thing. And I think I stood on Nedam beside the bed. I said, God, for the record, I want to go for this course. It was 1 month. I was going to have a very nice time with my friend Chooks. And my friend Igboku, the one in UK, was coming to meet me. He heard I was coming. He said, we'll meet in New York. I said, Lord, I really want to go. The Lord said, no problem. Listen, I know I've taken your time. The day, he said, God opened this door. Abi? I've told the story before. The day he closed the door in my face. Why? I knelt down. I had promised my wife the holiday of a lifetime on my from this same trip on my way back. She had bought her ticket. I flew Emirates. Meet me in Dubai. Then while I was in the U.S., I got a phone call. My father was critically ill. He was in hospital. He didn't recover from that sickness. How was I going to do it? Go on a holiday when my father is in hospital? How was I going to do it? Tell my wife that I'm canceling it. She had paid for the ticket, everything. Again, I knelt down. I said, Lord, see what is going on. In summary, God said, no problem. He took the door, boom, closed it. I called my wife. The door has been closed. She was distraught. I wept physically outside in the open at JFK. That's how painful it was. What was I going to do? I checked my luggage in for Lagos. When I got there, I had my computer there. I just flipped it over. They had hotspots in the airport. Checked my mail. The door was open again. I sent the guy a mail. I said, I'm sorry. I've already checked in for Lagos and my wife can't get another flight. That's it. That was 4 years ago. The door is closed till today. When it will open, I will know. Yeah. I will know. A day is going to open. Fling wide like this. God will say, bank it, take. This is $50,000. Blow it. Make sure you don't come back with one naira. I said, Lord, you know I know how to do that. No problem. I've taken your time today. Were you blessed today? All right, let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Just thank him for one single thing. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Thank him for that. Say, Lord, no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. You won't withhold it from me. I trust you. 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 Thank you very much, Lord, because you are watching over me. And all the good I will ever need is in your hand. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.